Well, David Mathis is president or head of Desiring God Ministries. And he said this, "Our God is lavish in his grace. He is free to liberally dispense his goodness without even the least bit of cooperation and preparation on our part, and he often does." Now, translation. God can be nice to us whenever he wants to be nice to us. He can give grace to us even though we don't always deserve it, because God can and does what God wants to do. Amen? There you go. But he also has his regular channels, and we can routinely avail ourselves of these revealed paths of blessing or neglect them to our detriment. Translation. While it is true that God can do what God wants to do, he has told us that there are certain things we can do in our own lives to help us to feel his presence, to help us experience his blessing, to help us know his love, his joy, his peace, his patience, his kindness, his goodness. And those things are what we are going to be talking about for the next several months. In our third sermon on the spiritual disciplines, and we're still kind of in the foundation phase. And this morning I want to talk about the importance of a quiet time. And two scriptures I want to use to kind of start our conversation are Daniel 6, 7 through 10 and Matthew 6, 6. First Daniel. All the high officials of the kingdom and prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house, where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God, as he had done previously. And then Matthew. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you so much for your word to us. I pray, Lord, that you will help us to understand it. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, if anyone is here struggling in their relationship with you or even struggling to know you, that through the power of your word, through the power of your spirit, through the power of the prayers, through the power of communion, through the power of the message, you would reach them in a very special way, and they would come to turn over their lives to you and believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Even as I pray and hope that all of us will become closer to you as a result of being here this morning. And it's in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name that we pray. Amen. So let's start off by asking the question, why do we need times of personal devotion? Why do we need quiet times away? Well, if Jesus needed it, we needed it, and we need it, and Jesus modeled it. Matthew 26, 36. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." Certainly there were times he prayed with his disciples, but there were also times he went away by himself to spend time alone with God. Mark 1:35, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed." Luke 5:16, "But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray." So Jesus models for us the need to get away by yourself and be alone with God, to have a quiet time with God. And in a way, Paul modeled it as well. At the very beginning of his calling, it seems like he went away to re-examine everything he thought he knew about the God he served, and had been challenged to reinterpret based upon his belief in Jesus Christ, Galatians 1:15-17. "But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went away into Arabia, and he was there for a considerable amount of time. And most Bible scholars think that he went there to examine his new faith in Jesus and to better understand the Old Testament, because he apparently had gotten a few things wrong. And then we also find that Jesus commands it. Mark 6:5, and when you pray. And then a few verses later, Mark 6:9, pray then like this. This is a reminder that we are to spend time with God. And the prayer that he uses, the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer sometimes, is a reminder that, you know, while we do pray with other people, we also pray privately, and we need to engage in both types of prayers. So there's a reminder here that we do get together with other people to do things like corporate worship. That's a discipline we're going to be looking at. We're going to be talking about prayer, and there are times we pray together as a group as well, small or large. But there are also times we need to be alone with God and pray on our own with him. And having a quiet time then is very important, because it gives us time to focus on God. This is interesting. This is Charles Spurgeon. Listen to what he has to say. He was a famous preacher in the 19th century Metropolitan Tabernacle pulpit in London. Those incessant knocks at our door and perpetual visits from idle persons are so many buckets of cold water thrown upon our devout zeal. We must by some means secure uninterrupted meditation, or we shall lose power. I think here he was actually talking to his ministers that he was training. But I think it's true of all of us. If we do not spend time with God, if we do not spend time getting to know him better, if we don't spend time trying to further our relationship with him, we do lose power, and we lose perspective, and we lose ability, and we lose the sense of his presence. Had it once described to me like this. You ever seen a pigeon walk? You know? Right? I've been told the reason they do that is because they lose their way when they take a step, because they can't focus their eyes, and they have to stop and refocus. And it's been suggested that a quiet time is the same for a Christian. We have to stop and we have to refocus to make sure that we're going in the right direction. And if we don't stop and refocus, then we lose track of where we are, who we serve, and what we're supposed to be doing. And we have to remember that, you know, this thing we have with God is actually a relationship. We're in a love relationship with him, and we should want to know him better, and we should want to focus on him. Matthew 22:37-38. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, or the great and first commandment, as the ESV says. You know, we are to focus on God, and having a quiet time is a time when we can get away and truly focus on him, because it is also a way to get rid of distractions. And this goes back to what we talked about last week with Mary and Martha. They were, you know, Jesus was visiting with them, and Martha was making dinner, and Mary was sitting at his feet, and Martha was getting more and more angry. And in Luke 10:41-42, we read, but the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken away from her. And we talked last week about how service was certainly appropriate, but in order to do service correctly, you had to kind of sit at Jesus' feet first. You had to know God and what he wants you to do first. And Martha, literally, in the Greek, not just you are anxious and troubled, but you are distracted. Martha, you're distracted. Mary's doing the good thing, the primary thing, the thing she has to do first. You're distracted, so you don't know what you're supposed to be doing. You're just busy. And the reminder in a quiet time is to not just be busy, but to focus so you understand who God is, what he requires of you, and what he wants you to do, and how he wants you to live. So then you won't be distracted by so many things, but you will be laser-focused in the way you live your life. I think Jesus also reminds us that a quiet time helps us to be humble. at least the way he tells us to do it. Matthew 6:5-6, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." And this was because this was a culture where there were many, I mean, if everyone's religious, then you wanted to show how religious you were and show perhaps that you were more religious than the next person. I mean, it would be common for someone to have a particular time of prayer. In fact, there were some prescribed times of prayer, and you wanted to make sure you were out and about when that time came so people could see you and know that you were doing what you were supposed to be doing and know that you were religious. And Jesus here is saying, don't broadcast what you're doing, just do it. And if you do it privately, then there will be no pride involved. And one of the things I find most interesting about Matthew 6 in comparison with the passage we read from Daniel 6 is that Daniel, when he went back to his place, made sure people could see him. He did what he normally did. And you might say, well, that's weird because Jesus is telling you to hide off by yourself and Daniel's out there doing it in front of everybody. Well, Daniel was doing it in effect to be an evangelistic witness because he was in a culture that did not believe in God at all. And he was in a culture that was daring him to take a stand. And he took a stand. And he said, I'm going to pray to God like I always do. Jesus here is saying, you know, there are, you know, Jesus is not saying we should never take a stand or we should never be seen. He's just saying that, you know what, when you want to be with God, go and be with God and focus, get rid of distractions. And one of those distractions is the world around you, and they don't need to know what you're doing. You just need to sit at God's feet sometimes, and you don't need to broadcast it to everybody else. Now, this is a change in the outline. I made a couple of small changes, and you'll be able to figure out what they are. I changed this point and added one later on. But this is sometimes referred to as the discipline of solitude. There are some strands of discussion with Christian disciplines, spiritual disciplines, and some can be a little more mystical than others. The Baptistic one tends to be a little more practical than so kind of, I won't say anything disparaging, okay? But some are a little more mystical, let's just put it that way. And some, I think, a little more practical. And some more mystical understandings of spiritual disciplines, this is sometimes called the discipline of solitude, because you're getting off by yourself and you're being alone with God, and I have no problem with that description of it. You know, it's just very easy to call it a quiet time. But it's also often connected with another discipline that is much more in vogue in some of the mystical understandings of the spiritual disciplines, and that's the discipline of silence. Now, silence is not necessarily bad. It can be a very good thing, because I think outward silence may help us to focus. I mean, when you get rid of distractions, one of those things could be the noise of the outside world. So you're away by yourself with God, and it's silent, okay? Now, there's a caveat to that, though, because I was a hyperactive child. I know that surprises so many of you. I mean, I can't even stand still here in the church. I got to be pacing, walking, doing whatever. And a little attention deficit and all that. So what happens with me sometimes is that noise or something else going on actually helps me to concentrate. Okay, so you have to know yourself here. And that isn't always the case for me. Sometimes I love quiet. Sometimes I like a little music going on in the background. Sometimes I can have a TV program going on and people will be, what are you doing? And it's because I can block it out and then focus on what I'm doing. And those of you that don't understand what I'm talking about will never get it. You'll never get it. You'll think, how can you have that on? It's so distracting. Well, it's helpful because you block that out and then you can focus on what you're doing. So, you know, these are guidelines, okay? But oftentimes silence can be helpful because it helps get rid of other distractions. And one thing that those who advocate this kind of discipline of silence, just going somewhere and being silent by yourself, not having other noise around you, is that this being silent can remind us of the dangers of speech and remind us that we don't need to always be talking. You know, we can be silent and we can think, and we don't need to rush into things with speech. And, you know, the Bible does warn us about the dangers of speech, in all fairness. James 1, 19 and 20. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. James 1, 26, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. And then James 3, 5, so also the tongue, it is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. So, by being silent, we're reminding ourselves that silence is good. What's the old saying? Silence is golden. And you don't necessarily just jump in and say things, because speech is a very, very dangerous thing. So, they say, by being silent, we remind ourselves of the importance of silence and the danger of speech. Very, very true. But having talked about it, let me conclude this idea of a discipline of silence with this question. Is practicing inward silence possible or useful? And first of all, I think the idea of being silent rather than just talking or going into something or repeating something over and over again is very, very important, because the Bible does warn against vain repetition in prayer. Matthew 6:7, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. This idea of empty phrases is kind of babbling. And you can do a couple of different things with that babbling. You can just mindlessly say whatever comes up in your head, or you can say the same thing over and over and over again. And some mystical traditions advocate the idea of a sentence prayer that you repeat over and over and over again. You might have heard of this one: Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. And they want you to repeat it over and over, and it becomes a mantra, and it's mind-numbing and all of this. Well, the Bible seems to contradict that whole idea there with this particular verse, Matthew 6:7. So if silence keeps you from doing something like this, that's not necessarily such a bad thing. But there's also another aspect to this idea of silence, where they want you to still your soul, still your mind, not think of anything, be completely empty and allow God to fill you. And the problem I have with that is that the Bible advocates meditation, not absence of thought. You know, we're going to spend some time on meditation in the future, but the idea behind meditation is thinking about the Word of God and the things of God and meditating on Scripture and on God. We're never told in the Bible to just empty our minds. We're told to focus our minds on God. Psalm 1:1-2, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. We're supposed to be in the Word, thinking about the Word. We're not supposed to have absence of thought. We're supposed to be thinking about the right things. So that's where I do part with some of the other writers that deal with spiritual disciplines that are a little more of the mystical mindset, because I think some of those mystical practices are less than helpful and at times perhaps even anti-biblical. So silence is well and good if it forces us to think before we speak, and it keeps us from praying in an inappropriate way, but, you know, we are to be thinking about the Word of God, and we are to be focusing on God. And the discipline of solitude is perfect because it refers to a quiet time. But we have to be very, very careful not to just pick up a book on the spiritual disciplines and think, oh, this is going to be great and everything in it is going to be appropriate to use, because it isn't necessarily so. So I'm going to bypass the question of how do we engage in having a quiet time, because in a sense that's the question we're answering throughout this whole series. You know, what are we supposed to be doing when we have a quiet time. Well, we're going to be talking about Bible reading. We're going to be talking about Bible study. We're going to be talking about meditation. We're going to be talking about prayer. We're going to be talking about other things that deal with spiritual disciplines like fasting and journaling and worship and celebration. All of those things are very, very important parts of having a quiet time. But since we're going to be talking about that extensively, I'm not going to give you a list of, oh, these are the things you should be doing in your quiet time. The one thing I do want to talk about, though, is when should we practice personal devotions? When should we have a quiet time? I think the best answer is daily. And I think Jesus gives us that answer in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, 9 through 11. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Well, give us this day, that indicates daily prayer. So we should be at least praying daily. I think that's an indication we should be spending quiet times alone with God daily. Now, some advocate one time or another when it comes to having a quiet time. And I'm sure many of you who have been Christians for a long time have heard solid explanations of why morning is always the best. It's the first thing you do when you get up. You have some time, maybe unallocated to anything else. You focus on God right then. You pray, you read, you sing, you do whatever you do. And then that's the best thing. And there are passages of Scripture like Psalm 5:3 that say, O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. So morning, right? Well, maybe. But then we also have Lamentations 2:19. Arise, cry in the night, at the beginning of the night, watches, pour out your heart like water before the presence of the Lord, lift your hands to him. Well, that seems to indicate maybe night is okay. And my biggest takeaway from this is that while there should be an extended time during the day where you spend quiet time with God, there can be benefit to multiple times. It doesn't have to be either or only. And if perhaps you design your quiet time to go with your particular personality and little quirks. Because there are some of us, me, who I am awake and I am awake. I am up. I have to be up and doing something and I'm ready to go. Now, I'm going to owe my wife a meal for this, but I'm going to use her as an example. My wife is so the opposite of that. Give her an energy drink and leave her alone for a while because she needs some time when she gets up in the morning. And that's just, some people are like that. We aren't all the same. We're different. So some people could be very beneficial to, okay, hey, great, God, I'm here. Let's attack this. And other people are like, God, are you there? Wait a minute, let me drink my coffee, okay? You know, it just takes some time. So maybe if you get up and you're more of the sleepy kind of person, you say, hey, Lord, I'm here. Help guide me in this day. Let's go. And then later on in the day, you spend some time with God in quiet time and reflection. Or maybe you can get up and you can attack it right away. And then later on during the day, maybe at meal times or before bed, if you have a family, you might have your own personal time of devotions earlier in the day. But then when you're getting ready to put your kids down for the night, you read some scripture or say a prayer with them. You know, shouldn't just be either or one time and only one time. You can do it whenever, but you choose the best time for you. And I'm going to say something that not many people say because I'm trying to get us all to think about this very seriously and to help us to engage in actual quiet times. Perhaps you need to vary the time. And this is because there are some people from living in New York City. You get up at 4:30. You get on the train at 5:30. You come home at 7 at night, and when do you do your quiet time? Well, you almost have to do it in the evening unless you want to get up at 3. And then, but then on the weekends, particularly if you're a morning person, you pop up at 4:30 and you don't have to get on the train. And what do? Well, you can spend your time with God then. Spend your quiet time then. So I don't think it's a problem if you vary the time. The caution is that sometimes if you vary the time, you can keep putting it off and not get to it. So I think maybe perhaps when you get up in the morning, you think this is going to be a very busy day. I've got to hit the ground running. I can maybe read through the daily bread quickly, say a quick prayer, but maybe at lunchtime or maybe on the way home. Some people I knew New York in the subway, they'd have their earbuds and their their phone, and they'd be listening to some type of devotion on the way home, and they would try and screen everything out. And you think that doesn't sound like much of a quiet time? Well, with some noise canceling headphones, the thing you got to realize is that you don't get chatty on the subway in New York City. You just don't. You stare straight ahead. You try not to make eye contact. Try not to bump into anybody. And then if you close your eyes and you have your devotions going on, it's a form of solitude. Maybe not the best, but it's a form of solitude. But you can vary it a little bit, and maybe the length of time even. Like if you don't have, maybe you don't feel like you have a half hour every day, but you do on the weekends. Maybe you do 15 or 20 minutes a day, and then on the weekends you can spend some more time. But the most important thing is to choose a time. That is the most important thing. To choose a time. To be dedicated to it, perhaps, is an even better way of saying it. To be dedicated to finding a time is a better way of saying it. Regardless of when it is or necessarily how long it is, but having a time when you get away alone with God. And then I think also we're reminded in Scripture that it's important to make extra time. Luke 6:12, in these days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. Matthew 4:1-2, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and after fasting 40 days and 40 nights he was hungry. You know, we don't just say, hey, I do my 15 minutes a day, I do my quiet time, I'm good. If we really are in a love relationship with our Heavenly Father, the more time we spend with Him, the happier we should be. So finding those times, whether it's a little extra time on a particular day or a little extra time on the weekend. I mean, one of the reasons the old idea of, while I don't think it's necessarily scriptural, I think it can be beneficial, is the old idea of Sunday as the Christian Sabbath. That Sunday, if you were trying to get away from some of the things of the world, you could dedicate more time to the things of God. So having those extra times is important, and we should long for them. So finding them is important too. And I say all this to just say, look, it's important to think about these things. And it's even important to plan these things. And it's important to, if you don't get up and can't spend a half an hour with God every day, to at least get up and say, okay, when am I going to spend time with God this day, today? And to ask God to order your day so that you can accomplish it. It's important, if we truly love God and want to follow Him and want to know Him, it's very, very important that we spend time with Him. Let's go to Him in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You and we thank You so much for Your word to us. I pray, Lord, that we will take Jesus' example to heart and remember that we need to spend time with You. And it's in Jesus' precious and holy name that we pray. Amen.